Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Tom, you've got some great bumper music, I understand, for us today. That will be coming up later in the show. It's Friday, January 30th, 2015. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We're live on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We stream the show. That means you don't need to be in front of a radio. But if you're around a computer, you can get us at kvoi.com or my website, buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun. And our newest partner is Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. He has been the sheriff of Pima County for 35 years. He's been in law enforcement for nearly 60 years, starting his career as a Tucson, City of Tucson police officer. The sheriff turned 79 earlier this month. And he is certainly one of the longest-serving sheriffs of any jurisdiction in the United States. A little-known fact, the sheriff loves baseball, wanted to be a baseball player, and he actually won the contest when he was a Tucson police officer to name the Tucson Toros. Remember the Toros? Yeah, Tucson Toros baseball team that we can credit Sheriff Dupnik with that nickname, and Tuffy Toro and the whole gang. Joining me to question the sheriff is Dan Scheer. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you'd like to join our conversation, our live line number is 790-2040. Tom will take your call and get you on the air in a very prompt manner. We invite you also to be a Facebook friend. We're pushing now. We're over 3,900 and on our way to 4,000 friends on the Buckmaster Show Facebook. Dan, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And Sheriff, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm just fine. It's a pleasure for me, too.
Sheriff, will there be another four-year term in 2016?
Well, there will, but my name won't be on it.
You are saying right now your name will not be on running for sheriff.
No, that's correct. I plan to retire.
You are retiring. That is now a fact. You're making that announcement. And when will that retirement come?
Probably before the first of the year.
And the reason?
Well, I've told several audiences that I don't want to be another Senator Byrd or Strom Thurmond or any of those people. And we still have some of those people in office, by the way, and maybe it's time for old people like us. I know the Chinese revere their elders.
Sure, wisdom.
But
yeah.
In this country, we're probably a little more realistic, and we need to be put out to the pasture sometimes, and I probably should have been put out some time ago.
Dan, Sheriff making the announcement today. That's going to be it.
Yeah, I disagree that you should have been put out to pasture before, but this means that you would be retiring before your term is up. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, yes, sir.
Tell us what the process is then if that were to happen.
Well, the Board of Supervisors would appoint, and my guess is they would have to make an interim appointment because they have to have a sheriff, even if it's only 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
And that's actually how you got the job in 1980. You were appointed.
That's exactly correct.
Okay. And then so we would have that person. And then let's just put it out there. Do you have a favorite? Who would you like to see in the job?
Well, my chief deputy, who is one of the finest cops that I've ever worked with, a fine gentleman, a very bright guy, and a really good manager, is now the chief deputy, and I would hope that the board would consider him favorably. I've been trying to teach him not about politics, because politics will kill you.
And that's Chief Deputy Chris Nanos, who we are quite familiar with down in Green Valley. He's currently down there a lot, but he also had been stationed down there quite a while ago, so he's a familiar face down there. What makes you think he can do the job?
Well, he's worked for me for almost 30 years, I think. Okay. And he served as a police officer in El Paso, Texas first. And I think he's going to be a great sheriff. No doubt in my mind, if the board doesn't appoint him, I'm sure that he'll run.
Okay.
He's just a really good guy. And, you know, I have worked in that organization now for 35 years. When I first went to work there, it was not what one would consider to be a fine professional organization. We've had a whole lot of work. The good news is we hired a lot of good people, and they've moved up through the ranks. Everybody has worked as kind of a family, in my judgment. And we've put together a really fine organization, and we've really put together a good group at the top. And it would break my heart to see somebody come in and do what maybe happens in Maricopa County, because that could happen overnight.
Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk with us on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. And Jim Kelly is with us. Jim, a question for Sheriff Dubnyk, who announced a few moments ago that he will be leaving office probably before the end of the year.
An unexpected announcement. Sheriff Dubnyk, are there two or three things that you would like to see the state legislature do that you think would best help Pima County and Southern Arizona with regards to our law enforcement issues at the moment?
Boy, that's an interesting and very challenging question, because I spend most of my time thinking about the Arizona legislature, and I'm not a big friend in their mind. Nobody wants me to lobby for them with the legislature, because I'm not very well liked up there. But most of my time in dealing with what the legislature is doing is a very negative thing. I wish they would quit doing a lot of the things that they're doing and get around to addressing the needs of this state, which in my judgment what they've been doing is very counterproductive.
All right. Jim, thank you for joining us with that question. Sheriff, I've got to ask you about the image of law enforcement. When you began in the business many years ago, pushing now nearly 60 years ago, did you ever dream there'd be a day where law enforcement would have such a tarnished image in this country?
Well, that's an interesting question, Bill. But when I was a young cop, I joined the Tucson Police Department in 1958. In the early 60s, we were being referred to as pigs, you may recall.
Yeah.
So we have never really enjoyed a really good reputation. We're not like firemen. Firemen go save lives and put out fires, and everybody loves them. And sometimes we write people tickets. As a matter of fact, we do quite a bit of that and put handcuffs on people, and they don't like us. Controlling people's behavior is a very difficult job. And most people don't want to be controlled.
A little twist on that. Law enforcement in general is coming off a pretty rough year, given the Ferguson shooting and other similar incidents. Do events like that make it more difficult to recruit and retain deputies?
I don't think so. But you bring up Ferguson. If I could spend a few minutes talking about Ferguson. You know, I was invited by national media twice, once right after Ferguson happened and once right after the indictment happened. And in my judgment, that is the most irresponsible reporting of what happened in a community that I have ever dealt with. You know, the national media came in, and within two or three days were giving false information to the entire universe about what happened. And part of that is Ferguson's fault. You know, in my organization, we have a saying that the bullet always tastes better the first day. But for whatever reason, they weren't putting any information out. And if they had started doing that quickly, then a lot of that wouldn't have happened. But they didn't do it. Now, why they didn't do it, I don't know. They're a small organization. They probably don't run into a lot of problems with the media. They can't foresee what's going to happen if they take a certain position.
Was cable TV to blame in many respects?
Oh, no doubt about it. But in this case, I think the major networks were involved, too. It's like in the law enforcement business, we get involved in a very tense, tight situation. And one officer winds up firing, and then all the officers present wind up firing. Well, that, in my judgment, is what happened with the media. One media starts reporting this, and they see, well, Ferguson has got something to hide because they're not saying anything. So these witnesses must be telling the truth. And it turns out that they were all lying.
Well, speculation often fills the void, and when there's competition in a media environment, that's exactly what happens. And you're right, sometimes media organizations push aside their standards for what should be reported because they don't want to be beat.
Absolutely. There's too much competition in electronic media, and I'm talking about cable TV primarily. You know, I grew up, Bill and I were talking a little while ago, when we got the news from Walter Cronkite and
Huntley and Brinkley.
Sure. And they simply reported the news. Now, if you wanted opinions, you could go to the newspaper, but you would go to the editorial page if you wanted opinions. The rest of the information in the newspaper, in my opinion, was mostly objective. There obviously was some slant, liberal or conservative.
Sure.
Today it's 10 times as bad as it was when I was growing up.
But let me ask you about this. One thing about Ferguson, as I recall, they have about 50, 55 police officers, but just a handful are black. And here we are in a predominant African-American community, and that just seemed a little bit skewed to me. Did that register with you at all?
Oh, sure. But it's a very difficult situation. My guess is the chief of police would like nothing better than to have 50% or higher blacks.
Sure.
The problem is that In a community, especially where there's a lot of crime problems, blacks don't want to go enforce the law against other blacks.
Very interesting. You know, you've never been shy about telling people how you feel, even about the prickly issues. Do you think that served you well, now looking back at 35 years as sheriff?
Let me tell you, I wish that everybody would have the chance to be the sheriff. Because this is the most challenging, the most rewarding job that I've ever had. I love my job, and I love going to work. And when the day comes that I'm not, I'm going to be devastated. And I'm trying to figure out now how to deal with that, but I'm not sure there's a way to deal with it except accept it and try your best to forget.
All right, we're going to talk with Sheriff Dupnik, who announced earlier today that that's it. By the end of the year, he will be resigning as sheriff of Pima County, and then he moves on to other things, and we'll move on to other things like hearing from our sponsors, and then back with the sheriff and Dan Shear right after this.
Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Tom, very appropriate, Tom Fairbanks. Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain here on the Buckmaster Show, the Friday edition. Clarence Dupnik, who has been the sheriff of Pima County, will no longer be the sheriff, probably by the end of the year. He made that announcement here earlier on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News. Matthew, do you have a question or comment now for Sheriff Dupnik, please?
First of all, thank you, Sheriff Dupnik, for all your years of service to Southern Arizona, Pima County, and the country. You've been a dedicated law enforcement professional, and we've been lucky to have you. Obviously, you're leaving at a time where the state budget is taking a huge hit. I know that part of the state budget will affect the county specifically. There's a pushback on a transfer of certain prisoners to from the state back to the counties, or not accepting them into state penitentiaries. I know this is new, and it'll probably be left to your predecessor to deal with. But I was hoping you'd address that, and also I was hoping you'd address the new normal that counties, sheriff's departments have to face with budgets, pensions, and what your predecessor is going to have to deal with shrinking budgets overall. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it. That's one of the reasons that I've done this for 35 years. Some people actually say that to me, and I'm grateful.
So
sometimes they say other things as well, but you bring up a subject that is very dear to my heart, and that's money. Especially when it comes to the Arizona State Legislature. You know, for the last, I don't know how many years, 5 or 6 years, they have been doing the same thing. They have swept money from, for example, our prisoner fund, which is not their money, it's our money. They sweep money from HERF. They sweep it from a lot of areas that make the budget difficult for counties and cities. And it makes me very, very upset to say, well, we have balanced our budget. No, they didn't balance the budget. They just transferred part of the problem to the counties and cities, saying, okay, they're going to have to raise their taxes to deal with this because they don't have any choice. And it makes me very, very upset. And I doubt that problem is going to go away soon. Probably not for the next 4 years.
And Matthew says something about what is the new normal for that your your successor actually will have to deal with.
Well, I'm not sure there is a new normal. We've been dealing with these issues and others like it for a long, long time. You know, we've had the luxury of a lot of federal grants over the last 30 years, I would say.
That's gone away.
And they're basically gone. We just don't have the money. But we now have a very, very fine communication system, one of the best in the country. And the voters did that for us with a bond issue about 8 years ago. And we finally have put that to good use, and we now have 30-some agencies on one system. And it's very, very good. I can't really complain about, you know, the job is going to be tough no matter what the issues are. You're always going to have difficult things to deal with. There's always going to be pros, and there's always going to be cons to most of your decision-making, and that's not going to go away. But that's one of the reasons that I have always loved the job.
Dan Scheer.
You know, but your fear is coming to pass here, because the state has made it clear that counties will have to pitch in to help cover some of the budget deficit, and the Sheriff's Department is a big piece of the Pima County budget. If you were asked right now to take a budget hit, say 10%, what would be cut?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we had to make those decisions a few years ago. One of the programs that I started was a DARE program for the schools, and we started the School Resource Officer program for the schools, and we had finally to eliminate both of those problems because our budgets were being cut. And where we would go today, I don't know. Our biggest priority is now, and always has been, and I'm sure always will be, when somebody picks up the phone and calls and say, I need help, that we have the help to get them immediately. And we do a very, very good job of that. As a matter of fact, we're one of the our response time is the best in Arizona. But we've had to cut in order to do that. We've had to shuffle a lot of people around, and that's we're always in the business of throwing balls in the air and seeing what we can deal with.
Is your staffing good right now?
Our staffing is it would take about 175 additional deputies to bring us up to the national average for sheriff departments. But our staffing, we get along very well. Our statistics in almost every area are very, very good.
So what kind of department will Mr. Chief Deputy Chris Nanos be inheriting if the Board of Supervisors decides to go ahead and appoint him as the interim sheriff? What kind of department is he going to inherit?
In my opinion, he's going to inherit a final law enforcement organization as there is anywhere.
Arizona State University just did a big series, their Cronkite News Service, on the meth problem in Arizona, and they talk specifically about Pima County, and it's pretty bad here. Over the 3.5 decades that you've been around, what have posed in the illegal drug trade, what have posed the biggest problems for people here? And I'm talking specifically users. Is it meth?
Are you talking about types?
Yes.
Of drugs?
Correct.
Well, let me start out by saying I never saw an illegal drug in my life until I joined the Tucson Police Department, and they showed us a marijuana cigarette.
What year?
Back in 1958.
Wow. Wow.
But what happened very quickly with the beatniks, as they were called,
sure,
in those days, that they started out with LSD. And LSD is a very, very dangerous drug, not from the standpoint that it makes people feel good. It does quite the opposite. It makes them insane. but after that, meth and speed became the big drugs, and they still are today. And in my judgment, meth is the most dangerous drug that we have, because it turns people's character and personality and behavior overnight into something that's not good.
But then the way to help people not get caught up in that is obviously to hit them when they're young, and you're saying that budget cuts are forcing us to pull back on school resource officers. Isn't that going to play into
the city had to do the same thing. Almost every law enforcement agency had a school resource officer program, but when push comes to shove, those are things that we like to do, not things that we have to do.
Right, and then you're going to pay for it on the other end.
Absolutely.
All right, almost out of time, but now getting back to what are you going to do with your life now when you're no longer sheriff?
Well,
what are some of the possibilities?
I'm thinking about going to see if I can pursue my baseball career again.
Great.
Aren't you going to Bisbee to do some event with baseball?
Yeah, they have an event once a year down at the Warren Ballpark, which is the oldest still facility, ballpark, mm-hmm, still being used as a baseball
Diamond.
Yeah. And I'm going down there to throw out the first pitch. They have a league, which people in Tucson I don't think have ever heard about, but there are leagues in our state, and they play baseball like they did in the 1800s. They're dressed like in the 1800s. They don't use gloves, and they have this raggy ball with the soda.
And they're paid like it.
And the fans just love it.
All right. Well, we want to wish you all the best, and I'm sure we'll have you certainly on the program a couple of times before you do hand in that resignation letter to Pima County, the Board of Supervisors, and Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, and then we'll see what happens. Sheriff, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Nice to chat with you guys.
Thank you.
12:30 almost exactly on this Friday afternoon, the final day, final weekday of January. We'll be right back with our Friday roundtable right after this.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like a guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to
pay. Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, our Monday political face-off will feature commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also, the monthly visit with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Buckmaster, each weekday during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and audio archive. Do 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 do
I'm singing in the rain.
Very nice, Tom. We got kind of a rain theme going for our bumper music here on the Buckmaster Show. Before we get into the roundtable, big shout out to the best auto mechanic I know, Mike Emery, and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike, you do a fantastic job over there for foreign and domestic cars, and I'm sure folks are probably wondering, why are my windshield wipers not working properly right now? So it might be time to get over to Perfection Auto Works, one block south, Midtown location, a block south of Speedway on North Beverly, and the website's perfectionautoworks.com. Dan Scheer sticks around from our interview with Sheriff Dupnik. Dan is editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and we're joined by Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist. Her column appears every Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, we heard the sheriff. I think a lot of people have been expecting that. I didn't know he would be resigning. I was thinking probably just would announce that he would not seek a, we're trying to figure this out, whether it would be a seventh, no, it'd be eighth for, it'd be an eighth four-year term, I think.
The first one was in 1980. Yeah.
If we go back to 1980. So that man has seen so much history in this community, Sarah. It's unbelievable. He said, what was it, 1958, I believe,
yes,
that he started as a beat cop with the Tucson Police Department.
He has really seen this community grow and expand and become what we are today. It must have been quite an interesting journey from the 50s Tucson to, you know, a million people.
Once he was on the show and he shared with me, Dan and Sarah, that when he started out, he was on the overnight shift. And he would go all night sometimes without one call in Tucson, Arizona.
Right, I can see that, yeah. Yep. And, you know, we had asked him the question on the air before, but this time we asked him off the air, and I said, you know, I still don't understand why this is a partisan position. And he said, yeah, I agree. I don't get it either. But, yeah, you either hire a Democrat or elect a Democrat or Republican sheriff, and we'll see what happens next time around. It'll be some two new faces.
And we didn't get a chance. We ran out of time, Sarah, to talk about legacy, but let's talk about it briefly right now, how he will be remembered. And for many of us who were here that horrible day in early January, a little over 4 years ago, the pain of the Gifford shooting and the tragedy, and then we're going to remember what the sheriff had to say that evening at that news conference, and that news conference carried by media all over the world.
Yes, he and Gabby Gifford are very close, and so. And he said after that, is after he was roundly criticized for talking about politics and the poisonous atmosphere. And if you'll remember, right at the very beginning of after the shooting, we knew who had done it, but we didn't have any clue about motivation, about any of that. And so there was a lot of talk because Gabby Giffords had been threatened before. She, during town hall meetings, things got very volatile. And so there was this just sort of poisonous atmosphere. And he commented on that, and I think rightly so, which I know will make people upset with me, but it's something that I've said before. And he took a lot of heat for that. And I think he will be remembered for that. But I think he should also be remembered as someone who isn't afraid to say what he thinks.
Definitely.
For whether you agree with it or not, you know where he stands. He doesn't waffle for politics. And so for that, I give him a lot of credit.
It's so unusual for any elected official to really speak from the heart like he did that night. So whether or not, Dan, you agree with what he said, you have to be impressed with the fact that this man has always spoken, in his opinion, honestly.
I think we've always known who he is. And, you know, an unabashed liberal, that's, I think he would use those terms, that's fine. But it never, the politics never got in the way of the policing. And as we look at the legacy, we have to look at things like, you know, budget problems that he's had to deal with, policing philosophies, all this the different changes that have come across his desk over the years. And it just so is so much more than politics. And so this is a man who has served well.
Well, it's interesting if indeed, the sheriff's, of course, his choice is his chief deputy, Chris Nanos, and whether or not the sheriff will decide to retire actually before the budgeting cycle, because actually that's coming up, Sarah, very quickly, the fiscal year budget, and whether or not the sheriff will step aside so Mr. Nanos will have a chance to look at the budget for the 12-month period. And it's not going to be, it could not be a very good time with the governor now cutting, with the budget cutting mm-hmm. going on. And Chuck Huckleberry said just this week that prepare yourself, the governor's budget would add to the local property taxes.
Right. I mean, Chief Deputy Nanos.
Chief Deputy.
Has been working very closely with the sheriff for many years. So it's whether.
I think it's like 30 years.
So whether.
Right?
Correct.
30 years.
And clearly he's being prepared for this position as the heir apparent. And so whether he takes the job, assuming that the Board of Supervisors follow what the sheriff want and appoint him, whether that happens before the budget is set or after the budget is set, it's impossible to think that he would not have a very, very hands-on role in creating that budget. But I think in the interest of, you know, who's in charge, the leadership, the transition, doing it sooner rather than later would not be a bad idea.
Yeah, and I think without a doubt, I mean, look even simply now that all the press releases we get in the media, Nanos's photo and number are at the bottom of them, not the sheriff. So he's clearly been moving into this and I think been prepared, brought along for it. That's exactly what leadership should do, is raise the next generation of leadership. So I think that the transition actually will be pretty smooth for the interim, and then we'll see if he wins the election.
Your paper, the Green Valley News, has been talking to supervisors about, I think you talked all five about the possibility, Dan Scheer, of a bond election. What seems to be the sentiment with the folks?
Well, you know, we'd been hearing things from town hall meetings and various other goings on, and so we decided to just basically take the temperature. So we did talk to all five of the supervisors. Allie Miller was no surprise. She has opposed the bond package all along. But for the rest of them, what does it look like, particularly in a week when the state of Arizona has come back and said, yeah, we're going to want a little more out of you? And three of the five said, right now, you know what, we're just not comfortable with it. We couldn't vote for it if it came down the pike right now. The other two pretty much were saying that, but not quite as solidly. But Ramon Valadez was one of those who just said, you know, I'm not so sure that it's a bad thing. But he did grant that he's been not hearing a lot of excitement from constituents over this, because people are being hit from lots of different ways about just basically nickel and dime to death. And now, this isn't a judgment of whether the projects are good, because the bond advisory committee has been doing a very good job of paring them down. But I like what Sharon Bronson said to us, and she said, you know what, I think if it were in the $350 to $400 million range, it might be a little more palatable for people. I would say that might be the only thing that could save it at this point.
I agree. I think getting it as low as possible and really focusing on targeted things that people across the county can understand the value of is the only way to get support. But as Dan said, we are being nickeled and dimed, no thanks to the legislature.
The budget is a problem for counties and cities, for that matter. And the editorial, this was in a couple of days ago, employers want college graduates, not prison beds.
Yes, that was the Sunday editorial in the Star.
Sunday editorial. And because the prison budget is increasing.
Yes.
And the university budget is going down.
Yes. This is under Governor Doug Ducey's proposed budget. It talks about expanding beds for prisons, for medium security men's prisons, but which would cost millions of dollars, and he has well-known connections to the private prison industry.
It's a $52 million increase to corrections.
And at the same time, also in there, cutting the state university system by $75 million. The U of A's portion of that would, I think, be about $21 million. So an interesting fact as I was going through the budget and kind of looking into this is that Arizona has more prisoners in our correction system than the U of A has students. I know it's not a, you know, apples to oranges to some degree, but that's just sort of a something to think about, because when companies are looking at states to grow their business, relocate, they're not saying, hey, gee, do you have a good prison system? They're saying, do you have a good university system? Do you have a good school system? So that's something that...
So they're not really saying, well, before I move my business here,
right,
I'd like to know about your correctional facilities.
Right. They're looking for classroom seats, not prison beds.
Yeah, and I think that, Bill, if you look at the university system, I think they can take this hit, and I think they can absorb it fairly easily because I think there's a lot of fat there.
Okay.
And even the president of the University of Arizona said to the Star, I believe her quote was something along the lines of, well, with these cuts, I guess we're going to just have to focus on our core mission of teaching students. Hey, what a great idea. Now, I know research is very important for a university. What bothers me more are the cuts to the community colleges because of the practicality of the mission, which was to give people skills so they can go out and get a job and start contributing. But I think the universities are going to have a much easier time of absorbing these cuts.
Yeah, because the support for the community colleges is practically almost zero. It's
the state support.
Yeah, state
correct.
Support.
Yeah.
That has been, it's just like it's been zeroed out practically for our community colleges, and they play such a vital role. We had, I think it was the Secretary of Education was in town this week, mm-hmm. and he was getting a tour of what is considered the finest aviation repair facility in the United States to train airline mechanics at Pima Community College.
And that's just one of many programs that they have. And again, that doesn't mean everyone's going to go that route, and it certainly doesn't diminish the importance of a four-year degree. But it does say that, you know what, if we want to get the economic engine going again, these are the types of programs that we need to have. And actually, Sharon Bronson brought that up when she was talking about the bond, too, is what I could support is anything that's going to help us economically. So we'll see where this takes us.
It looks like there's been a deal downtown, Sarah, on what has Alan Norville and the Rio Nuevo Board came together. And this is for that piece, that parcel along Granada Avenue, east of I-10 and north of Cushing Street. This is an 8.5-acre dirt lot by the convention center. People have been wondering what's going to happen to that, and it looks like they finally have solved that.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming, and it's not entirely controversy-free because nothing with Rio Nuevo is controversy-free. There were some questions about the process that was used to award Alan Norville, because he has ties to some of the people who've been on the board. But this is a deal that's not going to allow him to just sit on the land. There's going to be development there. There's requirements. So this is something that I think is promising, but we're going to have to, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We've heard
other deals fall through.
We have seen so many deals, yes.
But it is a $100 million project, and it has that 140-room hotel in there. There's an apartment complex, retail business, and this is an area that people have been wondering what's going to happen with that property, so we'll see. And I think Tim Steller wrote about this in today's Star.
He did.
About the deal.
And I would refer people to the Arizona Daily Star, Tucson.com, to read that.
It's Super Bowl weekend. People are having their Super Bowl parties. This is probably not a good time of year, Dan, to be out driving around during the, I don't know, right after the Super Bowl, probably.
you know what we found as we were polling restaurants down in our area, just saying, hey, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? Yeah. And they're saying, you know what, it's one of the deadest days of the year.
Is it?
People stay at home, and so hopefully if they're drinking, they're staying at home too. So.
Yeah. I don't really care who wins, actually. I'm not that interested in either team. Are you, Sarah?
Well, my my, you know, Gronkowski on the Patriots. I mean, the fact that I even know this is somewhat amazing. But I think I'm going to root for them. I do like the New England Patriots. I'm a fan of colonial history, so it's a somewhat tenuous association. But I have to say the whole Deflategate is a bit troubling.
Deflate, yeah, about the balls. Mm. Anyway, we'll leave it right there. But I do want to mention that there was some pretty good news about the A-10. Congresswoman McSally really pushing hard to preserve the A-10. I think the A-10 is, I think we can say it's safe for a year or two at least, right?
At least. And what was interesting about the information she sent out this week was, and I guess I didn't know this, was that the A-10 has always been scheduled to remain in service, I think, until 2028. So
really?
I don't know why the big push now. And I had a really interesting discussion yesterday with a former Air Force pilot about what the capabilities of various types of jets. And this one, if you get rid of it, we're really going to be in a pinch. And the F-35 certainly cannot replace what it's able to do. So really interesting conversation. And she is really, she's jumping on this one, just like she's jumped on the border stuff. And I will tell you this, I haven't seen too many people with 3 weeks in Congress been able to accomplish as much as she has, or to at least clarify what her issues are. Whether or not you agree with her is not the point, but she's getting out there and she's working.
Clarifying the issues being the border.
The border, obviously. The A-10 is one of them. Obviously, she's going to work on some economic type stuff. And we have a whole list of things in Green Valley we want her to work on, too.
And the animal lover that I am, and I think, I don't know, I think Dan likes animals, but I know.
I'm not so sure.
I don't know, but I know.
Evil laugh.
I know Sarah really loves animals, and I was really happy that the charitable donations to Pima County Animal Care Center have reached record levels, and we're pushing closer to what they refer to as almost a no-kill facility. If you hit the save rate at 90%, and I think we're now in the low 80s, so good progress by the folks over there.
Amazing work, and a big thank you to everyone who's made a donation. And they make it really easy when you renew your license for your dog that you can add in some extra, and it's extremely needed. I mean, the situation over there is going to improve with the new facility thanks to the voters, but it's not an easy place to be, whether you're an animal or a human. So this is really good news.
Yeah, I'm a real sucker for animals. Every time I see on Facebook someone has adopted an animal at the Pima Animal Care Center, I am very quick with the finger to the like button.
Yes, yes.
All right, that's going to do it for the Friday Roundtable. Dan, you do love animals, don't you?
I own a dog. I got from the Animal League at Green Valley.
Yeah,
they're
you
awesome.
Go.
They're awesome.
Dan Scheer, Sarah Garrett-Gaston, hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's seven lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. All right, it's time for Weekend Watch. When we hear that music, we all get excited. Blood pressure goes up. It means a couple of days off. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by the 16th Annual Chocolate Fantasia. Oh my goodness, if you love chocolate, February 7th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., be over in historic Silver City. All the gourmet chocolate vendors, more than a dozen of them, will be having beautiful samples and things for you to buy when it comes to chocolate. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. That's February 7th for the Chocolate Festival. Great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Bear Creek cabins. Those are just a few great things to do. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of the Friday Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Tucson publicist, and he is the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm great. You know, it's a wet Weekend Watch today, but that's okay because it makes me think about some great comfort food that obviously awaits me this weekend. I can't wait.
What can you roll out for me?
Well, you know, we've seen a lot of restaurants, Bill, across town using locally sourced ingredients, and we just love that. But Poppy Kitchen up at the Westin La Paloma, they've just launched a new program that is actually designed to celebrate their local customers. Now, get this. It's called Local 20, and that means an automatic 20% off your bill if you present an ID that shows that you live in the greater Tucson area. Now, this isn't some short-term thing with details and fine print. I understand that Local 20 is good every day, every hour they're open from now on. So I say head up to Poppy Kitchen this weekend and be sure to bring your ID, show that you live in Tucson, and you're in for some serious savings.
I like this. Let's give the locals a little bit of a discount. Good deal.
Exactly.
Good deal. In fact, any vino on the horizon, my friend?
Yeah, you know, Bill, many people know Jamie Sloan, a longtime fixture here on the Tucson business scene, but you may not know that he recently got into the wine business, and now he runs his own winery in Santa Barbara called Jamie Sloan Wines. Well, Jamie himself is going to be in town this weekend, and he's going to be introducing two of his wines to the public at an event tomorrow at 4 p.m. at Tavolino up on Skyline and Campbell. Now, I understand that he's going to be featuring his Pinot Noir and his Chardonnay, two of my personal favorite varietals, which have already started to attract some national attention, and I would imagine that they're bound to pair nicely with what Tavolino has planned for some great happy hour eats. So that's Tavolino tomorrow at 4 p.m. to try some of Jamie Sloan's new wines.
Yeah, have Jamie pour it for you, and he can tell you all about it. He's the man. Super Bowl weekend, what's the pick?
Yeah, you know, most people look forward to the Super Bowl to actually watch the game. But for me, surprise, surprise, it's all about the chicken wings, Bill, the ultimate in football fare. I think this Sunday's Super Bowl is the perfect backdrop to try some of Tucson's best wings, and there are so many in town. But my pick this year is Rocco's Little Chicago on Broadway, just east of Tucson Boulevard. Now, Rocco's going to be opening his doors at 2 p.m. on Sunday, and he's going to stay through halftime. And you can always grab your pizzas and your wings in time to take them home for the big game. Now, I understand it's best to call ahead, and I suggest enjoying a Chicago dog while you wait. The number is 321-1860, and get ready for what I think, Bill, are some outrageously good wings.
All right. Have a great Super Bowl weekend. Thank you, Matt, and we'll talk to you again. Thanks.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, all of our friends here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and of course Doug and Mary Martin and my executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, thank you all for being so supportive of our work here. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.